Today on Real Radio.
A time of great unbelief. People religious absolutely more than ever, but unbelief in the personal relationship with Jesus Christ. All the pomp, all the glory, all of the liturgical signs, but no Jesus. Having the power, the appearance of the power, but denying the power thereof. From such, Paul the Apostle said, turn away from.
You make me and break me. Change my life completely. Always my days I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. The Judeo-Christian faith includes what are often referred to as the essentials of the faith, those fundamental doctrines taken from Scripture that, if denied, renders the denier a non-Christian. One of these essentials is also a great hope of the true Christian, the glorious return of Messiah Jesus to the earth. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Life and Times of Jesus Christ and the Second Coming.
But Matthew 23:37 says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But what does it say? You were not willing. And behold, your house. What house, everybody? The temple. The temple. Your temple has left you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's why the disciples said, hey, Lord, we want to show you the temple. Have you ever seen a little child when they're hurt or offended or busted or whatever, they try to make an immediate little amends? Have you ever seen them try to be real politically correct about some blunder that they've made? Did you do this? Hi, Daddy, I love you. I know you love me, sweetheart, but did you break the glass? I brought in your paper. Yeah, honey, that's good. That's not what we're talking about. Did you do that? I love you. Have you ever seen a child do that? You've done that. I've done that. Jesus says, I'm telling you, because of the rejection of Israel as me as Messiah in my first coming, your house will be left to you desolate. And you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The disciples try to respond because they thought he was going to establish all that he's going to do in the second coming, that is, establish his political reign. They thought they could just kind of, oh, look at the temple. Isn't it wonderful? And Jesus is going to go on in other passages to tell them, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another. It's all going to be torn down. This shocked them. It shocked them. Listen, the first coming and the second coming are both to the nation Israel, and they are Jewish in their context. How so? Mark it down. By a literal physical arrival. The rapture of the church is not a physical arrival. It is an appearance in the atmosphere. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18 is, and in your note-taking, don't confuse it. That's the rapture. But the second coming is a physical arrival to the earth, just as it was at his first coming. A physical arrival. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Now, when he had spoken these things, that is Jesus, on the Mount of Olives, they watched him, and he was taken up from them and received up into a cloud out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel and said to them, men of Galilee, why do you stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up into heaven, same Jesus who was taken up into heaven, will come again in like manner as you've seen him go up into heaven. What does that mean? The same Jesus that you've seen in physical form, physically arise from Israel, from this mount, the Mount of Olives, his same second coming will be to the Mount of Olives again. Just as you've bodily seen him leave, he will bodily return. This is so Jewish. In my car, I have a little yarmulke, you know. I think it's called a kippah. We should all have them on right now. I should have just threw them like frisbees out to you. Why? Because the second coming is so Jewish. From Revelation chapter 4, verse 2, all the way to the end of Revelation chapter 19, is all Jewish in context. You'll never understand the book of Revelation until you've read all of the Old Testament. That's why a lot of people say, well, I kind of stay out of that book. You know why you stay out of that book? First of all, you're ripping yourself off. It's the only book of the Bible, that is the book of Revelation, that says, I will bless all those who read this book and bless anybody who listens to its reading. So get blessed. Read the book of Revelation. Secondly, understand the Old Testament via the book of Revelation. It's very Jewish. Jesus says, you won't see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. A true physical return of Christ. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Am I yelling? I'm excited. These things excite me really a lot. So I forgive me if I'm yelling. Behold, Revelation 1, 7. He is coming with clouds. Doesn't mean he's coming on a cloudy day. It means he's coming in glory. And every eye will see him. Is that true concerning the rapture? No. Even they who pierced him, Israel, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Why? You see, the rapture is the blessed hope. The second coming is an awful, dreadful event. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. Who is the Almighty? The one who's coming on that dreadful and tremendous day when the tribes of the earth will mourn. Christian, you don't need to be afraid of the events of the second coming. In fact, by the end of this message, you're going to see that you're very involved in the second coming itself, but you'll be coming out of heaven with Christ. Now, maybe those you've shared the gospel with who have yet to receive Jesus Christ, or maybe they'll never receive Jesus Christ, God knows, they'll see these great horrific events. I believe these things are going to unfold in our lifetime. I believe the world is prepared now for the advent of this deceiver that brings peace to the world and who ushers in these events God does upon his head in judgment. In Jude chapter 1, verse 14, the scripture says, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints. The word actually in Greek is thousands upon thousands of his saints in a physical arrival to the earth, physically. Jude chapter 1, verse 14, you can circle that verse or write it down, and its corresponding passage is Revelation chapter 19. You can read that later. The second thing that we see this morning, so very important, is that his first coming is compared to a second by a marked physical arrival. Secondly, at a time of great unbelief. Now listen to this. It will be a time of great unbelief. What kind of unbelief? Well, first of all, the tribulation period will be in full swing. And according to the Bible, there's going to be great religious activity, great religious fervor, more than ever around the world. Did you know that? It's going to be a very, very religious time. But does religion save you? He will come at a time of great unbelief in the world. The Bible speaks about it as being the great apostasy, or in Greek, apostasia, a great departure from the true faith. But listen, it's a departure from the true faith. That is, they have it presented before them. They don't lose their salvation. They never had it. They know of it, but they don't receive it. They turn away from it, and they don't go into evolutionary theory. What they do is they go into some other religious offer. And you know who one of those offers will be. The Antichrist will declare himself to be God. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, we read it a moment ago. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. What is that all about? It's when second, are you writing this down? It's in 2 Thessalonians chapters 2, 3, and 4 when it says that the Antichrist stands in the temple in Jerusalem and declares himself to be God. That corresponds with Matthew 24, 15 and with Daniel's abomination of desolation. Very important. Religion will be running high, but not for Jesus Christ. Religion will be popular then. It will be cool to be of the world church. Interesting time. A time of great unbelief. People religious absolutely more than ever, but unbelief in the personal relationship with Jesus Christ. All the pomp, all the glory, all of the liturgical signs, but no Jesus. Having the power, the appearance of the power, but denying the power thereof. From such, Paul the Apostle said, turn away from. Just like it was at his first coming, many religious people, but they missed Jesus' coming altogether. A time of great unbelief. Thirdly, his coming was required reading. Did you know that? Jesus expected them to know the day of his visitation. In Luke's gospel, Jesus says to Jerusalem, look, you did not recognize the day of your visitation. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, he says in Matthew 23, 37, Jesus expected Israel to know the day of his first coming. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, teaches that Israel was to know the day of the first coming of Messiah to the temple. It was, I'll give you a little bit of a help, 173,880 days from Daniel 9, 24 to 27, from the commandment that was given to Nehemiah, was on March 14th, 445 BC. If you do all the math based upon a Babylonian calendar, 360-day year, that's how all Bible prophecy is based on, from Genesis to Revelation, 360-day year, not 65. And you take into account all of the mathematics, as Sir Isaac Newton figured it out and Sir Robert Anderson, they came to the understanding, which has panned out to be historical truth, that the day Jesus Christ on Palm Sunday, remember when they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Did you know it was 173,880 days from March 14th, 445, that Jesus entered into the city? And he says, oh, Jerusalem, you didn't recognize me on the day of your visitation. But Jack, they said, Hosanna, yeah, and the same people 3 days later said, let's kill him. Are you hanging on to your seats here, people? Read Daniel 9 and read Daniel chapter 12. In Daniel chapter 12, verses 10 through 12, and don't misquote me. Nobody knows the day of the hour. That's true regarding the event I'm going to tell you about in a second. Here, nobody knows the day of the hour concerning the rapture. Nobody knows the day of the hour concerning the second coming. Yet. No man will ever know the day of the hour concerning the rapture. But concerning the day of the second coming, Daniel chapter 12 tells you and tells Israel the day of the second coming. It will be 1,290 days after Matthew 24, 15. It will be 1,290 days after the abomination of desolation. Yeah, you heard me right. Israel was supposed to know the day of his first coming, and they missed it. It was printed in Scripture, they missed it. Israel is supposed to know the day of his second coming. And let's hope, and I'm certain, according to Scripture, some will, because they'll petition him to come back. At this moment, on December 26, 1999, no man knows the day or the hour. That's true for the rapture, and it's true for the second coming. Why? The peace treaty hasn't been signed yet. Neither has the Antichrist surfaced. But read Daniel chapter 12 later, if you would. His coming was required reading. The second thing that we see this morning in our study is this. It will be an undeniable event, the second coming of Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Acts 2:17 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and maidservants I will pour out my spirit in those days." Hang on, everyone, to this. This is very important. "And they shall prophesy." Listen, that Peter gave at the birth of the church. That's the sermon that Peter was giving 2,000 years ago. That has continued on, but the final great outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the nation Israel, it's my people, not only the believers, but the context is Israel. During the tribulation period, those Jews who come to faith in Jesus Christ and the Gentiles who come to faith in Christ, God will pour his spirit out upon them in a way like we've never seen before. As dynamic as it was on the day of Pentecost, even greater. Then he says, "I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord." That's the second coming. Undeniable events will take place on the earth. People will physically see it. Yeah, how many people have you and I talked to? And well, if God would just show me a sign, we'll give them Acts chapter 2. You want a sign? First of all, I'm going to be here one day, and the next day I'm not going to be here. That'd be a sign. Secondly, the earth is going to be so devastated that the sky, the atmosphere, is going to be somehow polluted to the point, maybe through fire or through earthquake or whatever, that the moon and the sun are going to be darkened and appear to be as blood. Did any of you, were any of you this week near any fires and see the sun at noonday, how it looked like a bloody ball? The sun and the moon? Interesting. Undeniable events. Let's mark some of these down. Via geological events. Yep. Geological events. Matthew chapter 24, we read it, verses 1. But look with me, Matthew 24, look at verse, 22. "And unless those days are short, no flesh would be saved." No flesh would remain alive. Matthew 24, 22. It's a time of incredible upheaval. Jesus says in that earlier portion of that chapter, you're going to hear about wars and rumors of wars. Do you right now even hear about wars and rumors of wars? Well, you might say, well, Jack, that's always gone on. It's true. It has. But on a global scale. All this is global. He says that don't get upset because this is not yet the end. Still, some things must happen. Ethnic groups will rise against ethnic groups. Nation in your Bible, in English, it's nation versus nation. Sounds like U.S. versus Russia, doesn't it? That doesn't appear until kingdom versus kingdom. Politic versus politic. Ethnos versus ethnos. Ethnic groups will become more hostile toward different ethnic groups. Is that not happening worldwide? It's increasing, isn't it? Just as Jesus said. Man, I hope you're an unbeliever in here today and you're thinking, I better become a believer. Because I'm watching this stuff take place. Famines, pestilence. Famines, most famines in the world today are political famines. Did you know that? You know one of the great problems we have right now in dropping food into the Sudan to stop the famine is that the Muslim terrorists are killing. They let the food drop and let the Christians run to the food. Then they machine gun them down and take the food. I saw this recently, as maybe you did, on a KCET Channel 28 special. On a program entitled Frontline, where there's a duchess in England who flies right in to these hostile areas and delivers the food, and maybe you've seen her. She's very, very, very criticized right now, because you know what she's doing? The only way she's been able to get through to these Muslim terrorists from killing your Christian brothers and sisters, she's bringing tens of thousands of dollars and British pounds into the country, into Sudan. Did you see this? And she's buying them. She's buying the Christians. She sits down with the terrorist and she says, how much for him? $20. Here's $20. How much for her? $50. No, $35. They showed this on TV. She's buying them and taking them away. And all the critics are saying, well, she's only promoting the problem. Seems like Jesus came down and bought me on a cross 2,000 years ago. This woman is a wonderful Christian woman. And I forget her name, but she's a duchess in England. Geological effects. The earth is going to be in an upheaval. Isaiah 24:19 says, the earth shall be broken up and it will split asunder. The earth shall thoroughly be shaken at its core. The earth will reel to and fro like a drunk man. It sways like a hut in the wind. So heavy is it of its guilt and of its rebellion that it will fall, never to be risen again in that great day of the Lord, when he punishes the powers of the heavens above and on the kings of the earth beneath. Isaiah 24:19 to 21. Ezekiel 38:20. The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and the beasts of the field, every creature that moves along the ground, and all the people upon the face of the earth will tremble at my presence. The mountains will be overturned, and the cliffs will crumble, and every wall will fall to the ground. And in the book of Revelation, it says during the tribulation period, near its end, God will send a great earthquake that will be felt in all of the earth. It ain't going to be our normal 7.0s that we like. We had a 7.0. Who knows what it's going to be? But the whole earth's going to feel it. Is this scaring you?
Another one of the signs of the end times. Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study called The Life and Times of Jesus Christ and the Second Coming. We'll continue with more of this presentation on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Recently, Pastor Jack was asked to teach at the Calvary Chapel Santa Barbara Prophecy Conference, where he laid out some information that was really quite alarming about the threat of radical Islam in America. Not only has Islam spread throughout Western Europe, but it has now reached our shores and continues to spread coast to coast. It's in our government, our communities. It's even being taught in our schools now. You can watch Pastor Jack's presentation on DVD, which is now available to you. And in addition, you'll receive a second DVD that features Brigitte Gabriel, well-known author of the book Because They Hate. Brigitte is a Lebanese Christian who herself is a survivor of Islamic terrorism and now appears on programs like Hannity and Combs and Glenn Beck and others. And recently, she spoke here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. And her riveting message you'll be able to watch on DVD number 2. So here's our offer. For your gift of any amount in support of Real Radio, we'll send you both DVDs on Islam in America. The first featuring Pastor Jack, and the second DVD featuring Brigitte Gabriel. Here's how to get in touch. You can give us a call at 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. Or you can pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. Again, for your gift of any amount in support of Real Radio. That's realradioactive.org. If you'd like to write to us, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.